Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Two world champions. They happen to be twin brothers.
Well, the ingredients are there. Two guys who love to sit down to their punches and throw that firepower.
I'm not scared of nobody, and I'm definitely not scared of someone who talks. There's no one in the division that can beat me. There's no one in the division that's strong as me.
It would definitely deliver a statement. The power is for real.
Be able to get a chance to let everyone in the world see the great things that me and my twin brother has done for the sport of boxing.
Charlo just dropped Lubin!
Being on the same card gives us energy. We want to be sharp. We want to be at our best.
We're going to both meet in the middle of the ring, and we're going to let our hands go. Let the best men win. They are boxing. And they pound for pound.
Well, hi, everyone. Brian and I are not gay.
not that that's a, you know.
We had to start the podcast this way. We are in my hotel room here in the Mohegan Sun.
Ooh.
It is late at night, and we are here to do a podcast. We want to do one of these every night. I don't know if that's going to work because we have a lot of things to do. But here we are in Connecticut. Brian Campbell, how are you?
Yeah, well, I feel like I'm in a college, cable access show right now. Set at Caroline's, you know. What's the deal with Luke in his own hotel room, you know?
What's up with airplane food? Anyway, so we are here. We're going to try to do this for a little while. I don't know, 20, 30 minutes, something like that. And
Luke's been bragging since I've known you about how you have your own equipment. You've paid for your own equipment.
That's right.
Your own equipment is here.
And then my light dies soon before
your,
the show starts.
Your own equipment has failed you tonight. So
my equipment fails me every single day. All right.
We'll talking about your bait and tackle? Is that
right? My bait, yes, all of it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, here we are. And
I kind of got a young Dooku vibe going on right now, right?
A little bit. You're a little bit also out of the frame if you want to scoot a little bit more towards. Well, or you know what you can do?
You want me to sit on your lap at this
just
point?
Just rotate this way a little bit.
I mean, we could
there we go.
We could give the people what they want and just go tip to tip finally. But
you know what? I don't like that joke. I've never liked that joke. I just have to live with it because it took on a life of its own.
Yeah.
Let's recap here a little bit. So this morning, we got results back. Everyone's fine. This morning, we got COVID tested.
Now, yeah.
But we did not get COVID tested in the way that you might imagine, where they perform brain surgery or gag you like you're having to do something for Lex the Impaler.
Do you know they had a rectal option? I took them up on that. They did not like that joke. By the way, Hartford Healthcare did not enjoy that joke. I bet
you went in there and you were like, I heard there was a rectal option. It wasn't bad. All they make you do is you have to take the thing out yourself, swab yourself while someone watches you.
Yeah, I'm not going to out them, but I was able to have a pain-free situation. I controlled the levels, which is, you know, it's a little different.
And then you put it back in the vial, and then you...
You ever get one of those Swedish massages where the Asian lady hangs from the bars on the ceiling and, like, jumps on you and stuff? It was the opposite of that.
I don't like massages. Can you believe that?
Luke Thomas not liking touch? I could see that happening. I could see you. Yeah.
And then we quarantined all day in our rooms. What did you do today?
I did two podcasts. I wrote a column. I crapped a lot because I ate the room service food. So, you know, it's been what it was, all right?
I did a podcast with Submission Radio.
Those Australian fellas.
Yeah, I'm not sure when that's going to be out, but
what are their names? What are those blokes called?
Let's see. Dennis and, God, what's the other guy's name? It's so bad that I can't remember it because I know their faces like the back of my hand, but I've gotten drunk with them.
Did you drink Foster's?
Dude, Foster's is A, shit beer, and B, no. I forget the other guy's name. They're sweet guys. In any event, I just studied all day.
I like playing a game with you involving MMA media in terms of like who's on your naughty list, who's on your nice list.
Guys.
You know,
all right. I like those guys.
You won't wish death upon them. Mm-mm. But
they're good people.
At the top of the list is Chuck Mindenhall and Brett Okamoto. Okay, everybody else behind that.
No, you could put them up there. You could put.
Because you think there's no good people in this game, right?
There's not many.
There are some, though, okay? Danny Segura, he's your Matuba to your Petula, whatever you call him.
Danny is the Arequipe to my pen. He is the arroz to my frijole. So he's up there.
He's the Vern Troyer to your Mike Myers.
Something like that. you know, I like the junkie guy. I like Dave Doyle. I get along for the most part with John Morgan. I like him.
Would you wear his blue shirt right after a long fight card?
Golfing, maybe.
Okay.
And then, you know, the creative duo, Esther and Casey, I get along with.
Great people. I love them, okay? I'm a big Mark Raimondi guy, okay?
I like Mark. I worked a long time with Mark.
Oh, that the other guy, the Sean Alshadi guy. Met him for the first time. Very
Sean's
nice guy.
Sean's great.
Very
you
nice
didn't
guy.
Know Sean?
Never knew him, okay?
Really?
Never knew him. Sorry, Sean, all right? Never knew you, bro,
that.
All right?
I didn't know you.
I'm a boxing guy, okay? I'm new to all to this skinhead white thing, okay?
Who are your people in boxing?
Boxing's a lot of weirdos, I won't lie to you, okay? I got brethren there, though, the Rafe Bartholomews of the world, Salt of the Earth, you know, Eric Raskin, a lot of the older guard, the Karen Mulvaneys.
Raskin hates MMA.
Yeah, he does. Raskin's an old white guy. That's the problem. There's no young guys, you know? Like, besides, like, Mike Hoppinger, there's, like, no, like, because boxing's it's a weird breed. You're getting into a weird world, all right? Boxing's like, you know, you start dating a girl and you go in and her family, like, does S&M right in front of you, you know?
Can it be worse than the right-wing fever swamps that are... Modern MMA.
I wish we did last night's show. Last night's show, before our COVID testing, was you and I getting drunk in this room sharing conspiracy theories about world government politics and European banks. That would have been a great show we could have put out there. All right?
Yeah, I'm glad we did.
People think you're very far left. It's not the case. You're...
Tell them why that's true.
Why? Tell them why that's true?
Yeah, tell them what has made you believe that I am not as politically radical as the online idiots seem to think that.
Because you voted in just one presidential election?
That's true. I've only voted one time.
All right. So you know, there's no Biden posters in your bag over here, you know?
No, fuck no. You've never heard me say one positive word about Sleepy Joe. Never. Never has never happened.
Guys, the worst. They're all the worst. That's the thing.
They're all
the
pretty
worst,
fucking bad.
Right?
They're all pretty bad.
I told you I voted for Nader once, 2000. I voted for... who's the old guy in 96?
Did you vote for someone who could give you a good haircut? This doesn't look like it.
I gave myself this haircut right before MK on Monday.
I can never tell.
Let me go back to the Skywalker episode 6 in Jabba's palace look.
To be clear, my wife did this, and there's some issues with this one, too. Don't think there's not, but... Yours is a bit.
See, here's the difference. You're trying to get $100 haircuts. I'm doing them free. That's not too bad, right? It took me like...
You know what? If you look at me straight, it's fine. It's the minute you start going profile is when all the issues start emerging.
Yeah, well, I haven't showered in a long time, so that's a big part of it here. This is like summer camp, this whole bubble experience, right? We're not allowed to have dinner together. We could sit on each other's laps here. That's fine, but...
we could totally bang. But...
All right. Hey, I'm not here to talk about fights, but I'm really excited about the fights. And that's not a sell, okay? People think, oh, these guys are Showtime shills now. They're cashing big checks. Oh, they're trying to feed me things I don't want in MK. First of all, back the hell off there. I'm really excited about Charlo on Charlo just as much as Costa Adesanya has me, you know. See me from the waist down, but it's large.
We should back up a step, though, before we get into that a little bit.
I just told you I'm not getting into it. I'm not here to talk about
fights.
That's
fine. Right? Can we talk about Monday's show?
Yeah.
It's the first show I think we've done where, not for the individual pullout segments, but for the individual show itself.
I haven't pulled out since college, to be honest with you.
Okay. I'm going to ignore that because it was unnecessary and weird.
All right.
It's the first show I think we've done where the individual show itself has a less than 90% upvote rate. It's the first one where we...
You know, I'm not a big read the comments, check the stats guy like you. I know you live and die by
the comments.
I don't
read
people.
too much, but the stats I always pay attention to. Yeah.
Okay.
What do you make of that? They're bitter at us for our...
They hate you and your left-wing politics.
You were not that far away from me.
I was where I always land. I was in the middle because I think that's the true answer in life in a lot of this ways is to not get it, you know, so extreme and get painted by such a broad brush in either direction. But, you know, I mean, look, I don't know if I fully was able to represent in that short period of time, because Jay is always in my ear trying to rush me, and you're now Jay number two trying to get out of the segment every single time. When, you know, I thought you don't have any more jobs anymore. I thought we're allowed to just, you know,
talk about that,
bloviate and sexuate and all that. All right. You know, I mean, just I don't want there to not be freedom of speech, but I also don't want an absolute shit show, you know. So there, you know, I like when it's man to man. I hate you. I want to fight you. I want to beat you. I don't like when you're bringing in some of that other stuff. All right.
Yeah. Let me tell you why I. Well, first of all, I you know, people don't like it. They can voice their opinion, and we just let it rock.
Now, have you actually ever pounded sand?
I'm sure in frustration at some point. Okay. Here's the thing about the views. It's like, if people don't like it, it's cool. You know, I don't.
If
care.
You don't like it, turn off your station. Okay?
No, it's not even that. It's like I've said it before. You know, if it wasn't there, you know, I get a lot of people who email me being like, were it not for me, these are viewpoints they would not be exposed to, which I don't think is going to convince a lot of people per se. But I think it's worth at least having a platform in MMA where some of those views get expressed. And if people don't like it, they can shit on them, which is what they're doing. And that's fine.
People also, by the way, and this is just, I guess, human nature. They watch, sometimes they don't even watch the full show. They'll watch a tiny clip that's edited, and it never properly gets the full spectrum of what you're saying. But even if they're watching the full show, they'll hear that one thing that sets them off. And you might not actually be portraying that one thing as absolute. You may be referencing that one thing or saying, it's almost like this, but they hear that one thing that pisses them off, and then it's like, downvote, F you, F Luke, F his soy boy politics, F his shitty music choices, F his angry demeanor, F his overgrown beard, and I'm just getting started.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't care about any of that shit. If they don't like it, then say you don't like it. It's cool. I don't care. As far as like the show hurrying up, here's my view on that. Jay does a little bit too much of cracking the whip, I would agree.
Yeah.
But I don't think we need to go long just to go long. Like, for example,
try telling that to the guys at Blacked Raw, right?
Okay. you don't need one.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, here's... It's like, are they all $5 foot longs? Jesus. No, but here's my point. For example, I think our intro should be as fast as possible. Those should be quick. And then, even if folks don't like the topic, a Covington, free speech, Tyron Woodley topic, that's where you should go long. That's where you should just have as much time as you need. But, like, just to talk, I don't think we should do that.
I'm a little bit looser in life. I don't really like plans, rundowns.
It's the radio in me. Where they want you to get to the opening topic within 60 seconds of the mic's cracking.
All right, well, you've quit that job, okay?
I'm not saying we have to do that, but there's a reason for that, because people tune your shit out.
You quit satellite radio just when I got a new car and got my first taste of Sirius XM. I love the shit out of it. I got it on my app. I play it through my stereo in my office every day. It's awesome. Top five channels for me, and then I want to hear yours, okay? You ready? Here we go. Classic vinyl number one, no question about it.
I've never listened to that.
Oh, it's so good. Okay. Number two is, I like so many. You know, you only get 18 presets, and I could go about 30 deep here. But, you know, the 90s station is always playing. And, you know, there's classic rewind. Basically any form of the classic rock mixed with, I got the Dead channel, I got the Fish channel, the Springsteen one, the whatever. I'm sure you're getting a lot of weird ones like Lithium and Ozzy and all that. I mean, Ozzy's
Lithium's
solid.
Okay. I actually like the political talk shows. And, obviously, Mad Dog, I like.
Oh, Yacht Rock. I'm big on Yacht Rock.
Oh, fuck Yacht Rock. Yacht Rock is the thing that white guys say they like.
Oh, The Bridge? I'm in on Coffee House. I'm in on a lot of those.
What's The Bridge?
The Bridge is sort of smooth 70s. Not necessarily Yacht Rock. Not necessarily prog rock. Sort of the in-between on that. A little singer-songwriter.
Where would I hear, like, Hall & Oates? What I want, you got...
You could hear that on The Bridge. You could hear that on Spectrum. Spectrum is another one of those channels.
I think you know more about the company than I do.
Full disclosure, I did text you, and you haven't picked up your end of the bargain, saying, look, I want a DJ on. I want to get on Classic Vinyl and be a, I don't know, what do you call him? What do you call him? A host? A disc jockey?
DJs.
I'd love to do that shit.
No Shade 45?
What is that? I don't know about that one.
That's the major hip-hop station.
Oh, no, no. Okay. I'm in, big on deep tracks. You know that one? Mm-mm. They basically find like a band you know, but like a deep album track or a rare track or something a little bit, you know, off the wall. I like outlaw. I hate country music, but I like outlaw country, that channel. It's a little bit more, you know, bluegrass and stuff. Americana is a decent channel. They're switching them all the time. I don't think we need a Michael Jackson channel. I don't think we need a Tom Petty channel.
There's a Netflix channel. There's a Comedy Central channel. Isn't there a channel?
Oh, the Barstool one's not bad. Do you listen to that?
Power? I think it's called Power something.
I don't know.
Power 98, Power 85.
Is that a hip-hop one thing?
No. I think that's the name. They rebranded it Barstool. Its initial name was whatever the numerical, whatever the integer was, and then Power before. It's like Power 98, Power 85. They're pretty good. I don't listen to a whole lot of that, to be honest with you. But, yeah, that's about
what
it.
What do you drive, Luke? What people want to know stuff like this. What does Luke Thomas drive? Like, I'm going to guess a 98 Ford Bronco, maybe white AC.
My wife and I were actually talking about it this week about maybe buying a new car.
Okay.
She wants to get the SUV that's the Infiniti.
Company Infiniti?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what the model or whatever the make is.
Good times in the Thomas house these days.
Yeah,
right?
Well, she makes more than I do. So
are you serious?
Yeah, she makes killer bank. So we drive right now a Mazda, 2015 Mazda CX-5. It's from 2015. How many miles do we think I have on it?
You live in Washington, D.C., so probably 30,000.
23,000.
Wow.
We barely drive that.
You should just trade that shit in then. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what we were saying. We looked at the Kelley Blue Book value. If we traded in, we could get up to 18 grand on the trade-in, which would, Infiniti's not cheap, but that would knock it off a pretty decent chunk, you know? What about you? You're driving that one from the. Are you still going to the. going to Lilith Fair with the Indigo Girls? With
I bought a 2020 Subaru Crosstrek, bright orange. I don't care. You know, judge me. My neighbors judge me all the time. Judge me however you want.
Closer I am to fire.
It is. Yeah. I don't know if, like, so all the cars I've had before this were always economy, point A to point B, efficient. I had a Honda Accord. I had a Nissan Rogue. I had, like. You know, whatever, right? I had Dodge Neon back in the day. I had some shitty cars. But this is the first car where there's just up to date on every possible option. I don't know if you've been in these newer ones. Dude, you could legit fall asleep purposely on the road and set certain things, and the car would more or less drive for
you. You have been driving nothing but cars that have told women to never, you went to the lot and you were like, "Mr. Car Salesman, find me a car that will ensure I never get blown."
I didn't.
He's like, "Sir, I've got this Dodge Neon that looks like Barney from."
I had the Dodge Neon when I met my wife. She hated it. Yeah. She hated it. I didn't make. This is serious. Look, there's we all have our backstory of the grind of climbing the mountain of finally getting there.
Oh, I had
a
shitty car.
I did not make anything resembling legitimate money that you would want to tell your parents how much you make and have them be proud of you until I was 39. So that's, you know, it's just, this is my first. So
how did you get to high school?
My neighbor's mom drove me a lot, or I had a friend down the street who sometimes would drive me.
So freshman year, I could walk. My house was literally down the block. I mean,
Old Marietta.
No. So I went to two different high schools. So first 2 years, I went to Valdosta High School, the winningest high school football team in America. And then.
In Georgia?
Yes.
Really?
7 national titles, almost.
Give me some NFL players.
Oh, I don't even know. I couldn't tell you. But the NFL Network last year did a series on them.
Okay.
40-plus state titles.
No chance you could have played there.
Oh, fuck no. No. But they get in trouble all the time because it's like, why is this kid from Florida living in his own apartment at age 16?
Yeah.
And it's like, anyway, so my first freshman year I could walk. It was literally down the street. It would have been stupid to do anything but that. Okay, so I walked. It was like a reprieve. Sophomore year, my brother was a senior, so I could he could drive, so I got to ride with him. But then
he didn't get chicks in high school, right?
No, fuck no.
No, you got a bunch of athletes in your house.
Yeah.
Bunch of
he was worse than me.
Political commentary reading.
You think however bad I am, he was way worse than me.
These are the kind of nerds that end up opening restaurants later in their life.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And now he is he does risk assessment at a high mathematical level.
Yeah, that's great.
So then he graduates, and I'm on my own, and then I move to Marietta. So my junior year, I took the bus all the way.
Did you bring a bag lunch too, dude?
I had a single mom. I had no money. We were living in a new town. I had no choice but to take the bus. Okay.
Your dad couldn't buy you a car. Wasn't he working for the government at that point?
He refused.
This bastard refuses to watch our show too, right?
It refused.
This motherfucker.
He was like, you're on your own.
What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna find him. Okay. I'm gonna do a lot of things. I told you that time.
Let me finish. So then, senior year, I saved up a bunch of money. I saved up $5,000, and this was when gas was my senior year. I'll never forget this. Gas was 77 cents on the dollar, my senior year. So
77. The cheapest I ever paid for gas was in New Haven, Connecticut, 1999, $1.05. That was the cheapest.
Man, in DC or sorry, in Georgia, it was way cheap. Anyway, so I paid $5,000. I went to a government auction. This is where they collect people's cars for whatever, you know, crimes or whatever, and then they auction them off. And I got a white Chevy Corsica for $5,000 that I drove, and it was dented and shitty, but it got
tape
me
deck.
Just a radio.
What year was this car?
I don't remember. It was fucking awful.
Everybody knows the year of their first car. No, they know it like the back of their, their satchel. No?
No. In fact, that Mazda that I drive now is the first new car I've ever owned. How about that?
Oh, all right. Touched. That was.
Yep. We are now officially a couple.
That was a little uncomfortable there. All right. Oh, Luke, what are you drinking? Because you refuse to drink my.
Give me more of it. It's over there. I'm drinking my wine.
Wolf Pup Session IPAs here. Your
Session IPAs are terrible. Can I have a glass of wine, please? As you guys can see, my luggage in the back. Yeah. No. I think it's in the bag. Closer I am to five.
Friends hang out in the same hotel room and sing Endless Love together, right? Yeah. Luke, by the way, got room service with a bottle of wine. I mean, a guy alone. That's great.
Yeah, well, you know what? I've paid my dues, guy. I've paid my dues. Here we are. I did that interview today with Submission Radio, and we did 40 minutes just on Adesanya Costa.
Well, because it's down under, right? Those boys love their guys.
Have you watched Embedded at all?
Yes, I heard our voice. I watched episode one of Embedded. Yes, I did.
It's boring right now. It's boring.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, look, like the HBO 24/7 thing, which kind of invented this, it was great, and it was great even when it was shitty. But then it got really shitty because it's like, how many times can you watch Manny Pacquiao not say anything, right? How many times can you watch Floyd be?
I'm going to knock him out. It's going to be nice.
How many times can you watch Floyd in his house with no friends spend a lot of money? So, there's a little bit of sex and pizza to it where it's always going to be good to a certain degree, but I don't know, not enough Morning Combat in it. Now Countdown, a lot of Morning Combat in it,
and SiriusXM.
Oh wow, okay,
a bunch.
Okay.
I had people email me about it. They're like, dude, you're in Countdown. I'm like, not the first time, guy.
Yeah.
Probably the last, but not the first time.
Yeah, people DM me. They're like, I thought UFC hated Luke. How did he end up in Countdown? Well, it's not Dana going through each show and picking up.
Yeah, and also, he doesn't hate me enough to, like, go through each episode with a fine-tooth comb to be like, fuck that guy, get it out of here, you know? Although, I guess do you ever see, I don't think Josh Gross has ever been in any of those.
No, because they hate Josh
Gross. That stuff too.
Who?
Ariel.
Dana, oh no,
Dana hates his ass.
No, Dana hates him too. Yeah. I know Ariel. I know him.
No, I'm saying, is he ever in the Countdown episodes?
I don't think so. No.
Damn, that must have been a mandate from on top, right?
I don't ever see him on Morning Combat either. Maybe I can change that.
No, we talk about his reporting. We do.
He moves the needle. He moves product.
Hey,
right?
You're making news. We'll talk about it. Yeah, okay. I don't give a shit anymore. I'm 41. I might have an Infiniti SUV. You know what I'm saying? I'm drinking a bottle of wine. You know what I'm saying? I can't complain anymore.
Room service bottle of wine, probably $1,000 for that bottle. But hey, cheers.
No, the bottle was cheers, fucking $30.
You know?
I mean,
I don't make what you make, but I will next contract. Thank you. All right. This is like when.
Hey, you know what? Rising tide lifts all boats.
That's what I'm talking about. It lifts a lot of
donks.
You know
what I'm saying?
All right.
And
all
by
right.
the way, if you want to know what I made, I'm not going to tell you now.
On the
but
air.
But I will tell you off the air so you can use that as information to get more money.
Oh, wow. This is.
How about that?
We should say this in front of the cameras.
Oh, I'll say it. I don't care.
All right.
I'm not trying to steal from
them. That's the history
them.
Of Luke's career. He just doesn't care, all right?
I just don't care, bro. That's why my lights don't work.
That's why you have gray hair, but look at where you are. You know, look at you now, okay? Well, look at us now, pay-per-view. Pay-per-view this weekend, all right? Cheers to pay-per-view.
Salud.
Okay? All right. Take that, America. Well, all right, thank you, by the way, for backing us. Thank you for getting behind us, reaching around us. We really appreciate the support there.
You know what we should do? How about this? We normally do DMs from donks. I have an idea.
Yeah.
All right? We don't have to hold it to this, but let me just throw this out here. Why don't you ask us questions? Shoot me an email, lukethomasnews@gmail.com. So if I'm assuming if you're watching this, you're probably a hardcore MK fan.
Yeah, or just a big Luke Thomas fan. Luke, you have a lot of followers.
Yep, a lot of them love to hate.
I don't have any followers. People, you know, all right.
It's the way you sell yourself. That's why.
Wait, explain that. This is a good theory.
Well, let me finish this out, and then we'll go to that. So, we're going to hopefully do these one a night. We'll see how that goes, but we'll do as many of these as we can. So LukeThomasNews@gmail.com. Whatever questions you normally want to ask, it can be MMA-related, but preferably not. Just something sort of different, fun, irreverent, and then we'll answer those on the subsequent night show.
Okay. Yeah, two-drink minimum. Are you about to tell me that my problem with social media not being as popular as maybe I should be is because I want them to like me? That's what you're about to say.
There's a little bit of that. You sometimes, after the show, indicate to me that you'll kind of tiptoe to not, like, you know, ruffle feathers. And you know me, I go in there, just rub my balls all over the fans'
just
faces.
Just rub your balls on me.
And I'm like, oh, what? You never heard of left-wing views? Here you go, everybody. Enjoy these balls.
You enjoy not being liked. You prefer it.
So Monday's episode is a little bit different because there's a lot of people who are really pissed. But here's my general view. Patrice O'Neill is my favorite comedian.
Is he still alive?
No, he died. He died.
White guy?
Patrice O'Neill?
I don't know Patrice O'Neill. I know the
He's
name.
He's a giant black dude. Okay?
All right. I'm sorry.
He was big and fat and huge and hilarious.
I don't know your comedic heroes. I know the name. I didn't know.
Anybody who put a fucking fork in the eye of anybody else is who my favorite comedian
is. He better
are.
Than Mitch Hedberg?
He's very different. Mitch was kind of like, what happens if you have a pizza and it's not frozen, but they call it a frozen pizza? What do you do? And it's like, oh, that's funny if you're
like, fine. He's like burnout Jerry Seinfeld, basically.
No. I'm teasing. Mitch Hedberg was very, very funny. But he had this sort of like really irreverent kind of goofy humor. Patrice O'Neill was like, I mean, he put a finger in your chest a little bit, right? He had a rule. Okay, he had two things about him that I really loved. He had a rule. He goes, if you go to a club and you're performing and you're a comedian, and at least 10% of the audience doesn't boo when you get off, you have failed. You have failed. He goes, you can't please everybody, and you should not try to.
So you should please yourself.
You should do
Rick Nelson.
And you should, the people who really get you, you should only respond to them. You don't have to respond to anybody else.
Well, you've been pleasuring yourself for years, so
I'm honestly masturbating as we speak. No, but in all seriousness, my point being is, there is, I don't take pleasure in having the world mad per se. There's no comfort there. However, in having a dedicated group of people that understand what I'm trying to do and don't misrepresent or offer some bullshit response to what I'm doing, which is the overwhelming majority of the criticisms, and then pissing off a small but, you know, even vocal minority, I think is exactly the way it's supposed to be.
All right, so at your core, jokes aside of, you know, you want people to hate you, you want to make a difference in your own way, whether that's shaking up somebody's belief system, educating them, challenging them. That's sort of your goal and every intention. My intention is just to have fun and entertain.
I want to have fun too, but yes, my goal is I am not here to comfort your worldview.
All right, because how I look at this is
This? You mean the job?
The job. These type of shows that we do. This right here, Morning Combat, is, you know, what do I love more than anything? Fights, right? The fight game is a passion for me. It's a personal passion. I have, like, that many people in my real life who have a clue or care about fights, right? It's like a couple guys who kind of understand boxing and like it a little bit. That's it. And I don't really think I have any day-to-day non-job people who like MMA or who really know. Maybe a couple of uncles or cousins. But, you know, like, so it's been before I got into this business, been a lonely time watching fights alone. You know, there's no internet back then. And even when, you know, I got on Twitter right away, it was like, it's almost like I've always equated being a serious boxing fan to, like, having a drug habit. You know what I mean? It's like you're just trying to find like-minded weirdos like you. And then we get to do these shows with this platform where it's like, holy shit, like, what do I love doing more than anything? Hanging out with my friends and cracking jokes and laughing, right? Making people laugh, them making you laugh, inappropriateness, that. Now we get to do that on a platform with people just like us that I would want to hang out with normally. It's a dream. It's a freaking dream.
I'm a little bit with you. It's like the thing with me is, like, none of my friends are at all into this shit. You know, none.
None. I'm with you. None.
And so it became kind of like a isolated affair. I don't know.
Yeah, a drug habit. Let's be honest. We've all done drugs.
Yeah, I don't know if I call it a drug habit. I don't know. I tried to put my brain to certain pursuits. Like, what am I going to use this for? You know, and then when things like, Dave's like, who's more into free speech than us? I'm like, Kim Jong-un, you know,
yeah.
Anybody. So that's part of it. Yeah, I don't know.
Wow. By the way, comment Luke made last night while we were heavily I was heavily intoxicated.
Four beers. I mean, this guy is the biggest.
Oh, I'm 42 years old. I mean, I used to be.
I'm 41, motherfucker.
I could drink in my day. I could drink with chemicals and really have
when
a great time.
When you got drunk at that Dave thing, I was trying to text you all day, like, what do you think of the rundown? Are you ready to go? And you didn't respond because you were getting hammered at fucking Steve's house down the street.
Wait, what day? That was
a few weeks ago.
Oh yeah, I went to a high school friend's house. Like kids were in the pool while the dads were at like the home bar.
How much
and
did you drink?
I had to be careful because my wife was like all over me, like a hawk, trying to take away keys and trying to do wife things. I think I probably had over the course of 4 hours, 5.5 beers.
It's not
five
terrible.
To six beers total. She drove, so it wasn't that big a deal. But I also, in that same house, in my friend's house. Shout out to Ed. At Ed's house a couple of years earlier, we had the full pool party, the kids all around, and he's got the pool with the diving board, since removed for insurance reasons. And I got crazy drunk, 6, 7, 8, 9 beers deep, whatever, on like a Saturday afternoon. And I just was like, you know what? I never learned how to dive my whole life. Everybody else diving and doing backflips. I've been afraid to dive. I'm going to learn how to dive right now at whatever I was, 36 or something. Hit my head at the bottom of the pool and concussed myself like a bastard. So, there's some people that look out for me.
Glad you got a vasectomy.
Yeah. In that regard, I'm at the point now where I got the old guy drinking disease where, on any random night, Luke, I could just be watching the game, drink two beers, go to bed, everything's fine, wake up this morning, got a javelin sticking on my head, just a headache from hell. It's not fair and it doesn't make sense.
But if you saw the alcohol loads I was putting away.
Well, speaking of loads here, Luke last night was saying, I was like, I got some IPAs. Luke, you want to drink whatever? He's like, I'm not going to drink your shit. And he proceeds to purchase like a $70 six pack of Corona.
The Corona was expensive. Yeah.
And then I go, Luke, do you want a beer? No, because, this is my Luke voice, because I would need about, 46 of them to get drunk. It's like, dude, get the fuck. Like, no, seriously. No, seriously, guy.
We're going to figure this out.
No, seriously, guy. I would need like 40.
What is the beer I'd have to drink for like standarding measurement of beer? You know what I mean? Like,
What's the unit of beer? I'm not talking about take your thing out. I'm not talking about touch a girl inappropriately. I'm talking about just getting buzzed. You're telling me right now.
Oh, to get buzzed?
If we drank a six pack each while recording this show, you wouldn't be buzzed. I'd be freaking drunk as shit.
No, nothing. Zero.
So what I do as an old guy now, I try to drink a lot in as short a period of time as possible and just ride that buzz till the headache starts coming.
Yeah, that's about right. I could do maybe 12 to 15 to get a buzz.
What? Get the fuck out. 12 to 15 beers to get a buzz? That is not. So that tells me
I'm like Wade Boggs. You ever heard of Wade Boggs drinking stories?
Luke, you're serious that it would really take you that many beers to get, like, when we did the drinking show. December, the day before I went in the hospital for fake COVID. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
In Jersey City there. You weren't buzzed at all on the set that day. Not even remotely buzzed.
No.
Not even like giggly a little bit. I don't believe it.
You don't have to. It is not true.
We pounded like 4.5 beers in like an hour, 5 beers.
Yes. Which for you apparently is very difficult for
all
me.
Right.
It's not.
I mean, what was your childhood like? If this is, if how do you retain this much alcohol and not let it affect you, Luke?
Oh, I'm sure that it does. By the way, if people wondering why the picture looks different, we had to switch cameras and then lenses, and so
yeah, Luke bragged about his equipment all week, but hey,
we're
pulling it off. Thank you. But we got to listen to some Patrice O'Neill during the intermission.
What'd you think?
Fantastic, fantastic.
Pretty good, right?
Yeah. I'm gonna get into it. All right, thank you.
We should wrap up from here for before too long. So we can save some for tomorrow. So the plan for tomorrow is?
Yeah, people need to watch our Showtime. We got a lot of Showtime stuff coming on. We got the presser stream. We got the weigh-in stream on Friday. We got the halftime show. We got some CBS Sports HQ, which we need to start pumping, that people need to hit. I mean, look, if you like all sports, how about a 24/7 free network that you can get on your smartphone, on your Apple, on your smart TV, on your laptop, whatever? We're going to be on there from site all week, setting the stage for the UFC card, for the Charlo card.
Yeah,
we're going to be doing nightly podcasts in this.
What are we going to do on Saturday night? For as far as UFC,
what are you talking about in the MK post show?
Yeah,
we're going to break it down, bro. I mean, there's only two fights on that card worth breaking down.
So we'll just talking about the main and co-main title fights.
Yep. The other stuff we'll have to watch on our free time and get into it next week. Next week we're kicking this off, right? MK all day, every day.
Allegedly.
Luke, I have an important question.
All right.
What mainstream 90s songs that when they come on the radio or the XM, you know, it doesn't have to be a band you like, but you're just like, fuck yeah, turn this shit up. Like, for me, it's Semi-Charmed Life by Third Eye Blind. Like, I will drop everything and just be like, fucking A, man, yeah.
What's wrong with you?
You don't, that, are you serious?
No, Semi-Charmed Kind of Life doesn't, it just makes me,
all right, like I have AIDS. She Talks to Angels by Black Crowes, if that comes on, you're like, yeah, man,
She
yeah.
Talks to Angels.
Yeah.
No.
Don't give me some like Tool or something. I mean, like fine.
Spoon Man, Soundgarden.
All right, all right.
Spoon
all right,
Man.
All right, all right, all right.
Yeah. I like that one.
Man in a Box, you'll rock out to.
I actually don't like that song that much. Okay. I'll tell you which one I like. Alice in Chains, Wood. Into the flood again.
That's a great song. Great song. Great song. I'm not talking like show me your badass. Show me the metal songs. I'm talking about the mainstream.
Like, those are the ones where I'm like, doom.
No, like mainstream hits. Like, look, if Breakfast at Tiffany's by Deep Blue something comes on,
said, what about?
Yeah, right. You're gonna make sure no one's watching, but then you're gonna be like, fucking hey, right? Yeah, man. No.
I'll tell you which one I might. I won't say fuck yeah, but I'll sing along to it. Is the Eve 6.
Inside Out.
I would swallow my pride. I would choke on the rinds. That one.
Thank you. Great choice. All right, Luke, you do have a soul, okay?
Yeah,
Flagpole Sitta, Harvey Danger, come on.
No.
It's about masturbation, you know?
Yeah, I know. But I think the song about this is my life. What I do. That's what I did before you got here. I mean, come on.
Oh, come on. You shook my hand. This is disgusting.
Yeah, maybe I did wash my hands. Maybe I didn't. Who knows? Maybe I used. I'm actually good.
No,
that's not that good. I did that part out.
We need a bet that ends in me getting a DC-related tattoo. Not Daniel Cormier. District of Columbia on my forearm.
That's
right?
Him getting another tattoo?
No, let's tell already, the people. Tell the people, please.
I'm getting my... I waited and waited and waited and waited and waited because, you know... I'll tell folks this. So, I wasn't disillusioned with the Marine Corps. I actually like the Marine Corps a lot, but...
Semper Fi, mother
effer. Semper Fi. But I did not. Every Marine gets a moto tattoo, a motivational tattoo, and I have one. I have my ribs tattooed, but it was not the one that I really wanted.
That thing must have stretched over the years, Luke.
Of course, and they were quite painful. But no, that's not the one that I wanted. I always wanted the Eagle, Globe, and Anchor, which is the official insignia, and I contacted a guy who's going to do it for me officially.
Oh, okay.
And it's going to cover my forearm.
Do you? So what is it going to be?
The Eagle, Globe, and Anchor.
And it's going to cover the outer part of your forearm?
Well, I have to get it fitted, and I have to see his particular illustration. Like, he's going to take a very tiny creative license to make it work, but from here to here, more than this part.
All right, what happens when you see a fellow Marine and you know they are? Like, is it like, do you have like a Freemason handshake, or like a like when my dad, he's a big motorcycle guy, you know, he sees other motorcycles, they give that sideways weird wave. It's like, you know, it's like, you know, they like, you know, hey man, I'm cool like you.
No,
you know?
It all depends on what they've done with the rest of their lives.
Like, know? When you see Sarge Eubanks,
she's not a Marine.
Sajara, I thought you told me she was a Marine.
I never told you that.
All right, name a fighter that was a Marine?
Kyle Stewart. He's not with UFC anymore, but he was one. Brian Stan.
Okay, what would you and Brian Stan do? Would you fingers for?
You be disrespectful to the troops? I would tell you that we've definitely greeted each other with Semper Fi before.
Okay, over a beer, would you guys lament Pat Tillman's inside job?
You really have a way of taking conversations and ruining them. Ruining them. I have a Pat Tillman story for you.
Please. I once made a Pat Tillman joke and it got legally cut out of a clip. Okay,
you know. Yeah. Can you imagine? Yeah. This is my only Pat Tillman story. So do you remember, like, I don't want to say 10 years ago, but maybe it was close to 10, maybe a little bit less, maybe 8 years ago, there was a documentary that came out about Pat Tillman that finally told the truth that he died in friendly fire.
Okay, and the government covered it up.
The government covered it up, okay. And there was a documentary about it. They had interviewed his family. They interviewed, like, blah, blah, blah.
Do you think the controversy and conspiracy ends there?
I don't know, but it's certainly, I mean, the amount of malfeasance is overwhelming.
Okay.
But here's the thing. So they made this movie, and they were not showing the movie at the normal movie theaters. They were showing it at ones, sort of these independent ones. So I went to independent movie theater.
Like VA hospitals and stuff?
No. It was at, like, the one I went to was actually by the Ford's Theater. It was downtown. I'll never forget, I had gone there. I'd never been to this one in particular one, and there were these, it was not crowded, the theater. I was sitting there, and there were to my left, maybe 4 or 5 seats between us, there were these two old ladies. When I say old, I mean 60s, okay? Now, Pat Tillman played college football, then he played pro, and then he turned into, you know, an Army Ranger and the whole bit.
He watched the buildings fall and got inspired to help his country, right?
Okay, but here's the thing.
Great lock of the hair.
He was a lifelong athlete, and he was, follow me here for just a second, he was a handsome guy, okay? He was photogenic. He looked All-American in many ways.
Very Greg Kelly.
Exactly. And so I'll never forget when the documentary is happening. And dude, this is a very somber documentary. Right? They're talking about a guy who not only lost his life, but then the government covered it up. And his family was distraught about the whole thing. It was kind of like, it was very, very sad, okay? They're showing pictures of this guy's life and like what led to all the decisions and how it may have been led, you know, long before. Basically, 9/11 was the catalyst, but he was living life choices before that where you could kind of tell that he was going to be this kind of a guy. And every time they showed pictures of this dude, these two old ladies were like, oohing and on. They're like,
Oh, I'd like to take down that drink.
Yeah, like, shit like that. And I'm like, dude.
That's inappropriate.
Imagine going to I'm not saying it's equivalent, but imagine going to a funeral and being like, damn, she got some big ass titties. You'd be like, dude, maybe.
Wow.
Like, it's like, dude, maybe shelf that. Maybe shelf that a little bit, right? It's like, Brian, put your pants back on, buddy. This is not the venue. Okay, so finally, it comes to a point where they showed him in his Green Beret outfit. He was obviously not dead, but it was at his funeral. And I remember one of them said something like, something to the effect of, I wish he was still alive because he was so handsome. Something
These were
like
old, late, old women.
In their 60s, bro. And I'll never forget. I don't do this ever. I'll never forget. I got up sitting there where I was sitting, and I said, shut the fuck up. I said, no one gives a fuck what you like. Shut the fuck up.
Were you alone?
Yes. And and I said, stop. And I remember this. I said, stop being disrespectful. And they didn't say a fucking word. I mean, I'm not sure they breathed the rest of that fucking movie.
Wow.
I was so upset about that. I was like, don't you fucking dare sexualize. Yes, he's a handsome guy. He's a very handsome guy. This is not the venue to fucking double-click your fucking mouse, you old whore. Shut up. Shut up. Shut your mouth. Shut your fucking mouth.
Woo, all right. That was that was actually a good story. Wow.
I was so mad about it, dude. I was so bitter. I sat there and tolerated it like this. Like for it went on for like a solid hour and a half, until eventually one of them was like, and I was like, shut the fuck up.
One day that's going to happen on the MK set. When are we going to return to Jersey?
You want to make a bet
somewhere
this?
In the swamps?
How
of
you
Jersey?
Feeling about your February packed arenas bet?
See,
not too good, right?
Did I say indoor? Did I say indoor?
You said indoor.
All right, it's probably not.
And I let you have the outdoor possibility, and you told me to fuck off.
Well, I was feeling good at that time. You were very Fauci. Look. Let's be honest, Luke. You were very abrasively Fauci.
Whose assessment is going to end up being correct? Yours or mine?
Yours or Dana's?
I'll split the difference with
I
him.
Have an island. I'm building the infrastructure. As by the way, that's one of the greatest videos of all time, to see Brett's face during that interview in whatever Zuffa gym they were in, and Brett's like, okay,
I guess I didn't pay attention to his face. What did he do?
Brett gave a very like, you know, what is happening right now? There's a madman in front of you. But look, again, Dana.
They pulled it off.
Along with Joe Exotic.
Couple of fits and starts, but they pulled it off.
I am here to tell you thank you, Dana, for pulling this off, because this kept us.
I've said it before. It's like, people were like, what do you want? What do you want? All I ever wanted was to work with a major commission. There's three of them. New Jersey, Nevada, California.
Yeah, we almost had a Tai Chi Palace quicksand puddle to step in, but no.
Work with a major commission, find protocol, and then follow it. And that's what the, is that some scandal? It's not a fucking scandal. And it works for the most part. Is it a perfect system? It's not a perfect system, but it fucking works. That's it. That's all I have to say.
Wow, what a great show this was. We got Pat Tillman worked in. We
I've never told you that Pat Tillman
story. No, that's a great freaking story. Yeah.
Even my wife was like, okay, you may have gone a little overboard. But dude, I remember leaving and I was like, okay, I think I overreacted.
You ever wonder if the friendly fire, though, was unfriendly? Like, hold they on. Realized that he knew too much, that he saw how the sausage was being made out there. And
Stay on topic for just a second here. I remember leaving the theater and, like, feeling kind of bad that I yelled at some old ladies. And then I was like, would you feel bad about that?
No.
Dude, fuck them, right?
I have a flaw. We all have character flaws. When you're in the supermarket and like you accidentally bump into somebody, or maybe you didn't give somebody the right away, you turn around, it's an old lady. You know how they give you that look, like you fucking you, you know, like you. Be, yeah. I have this flaw in me where I can't just go, oh, I'm so sorry. I stand there and I stare them the fuck down. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like what? Because it was I worked at a grocery.
What kind of a brag is that, bitch? I get real passive aggressive.
You know what I was gonna say, because you mentioned Ford's Theater.
Yeah.
Do you think Samuel Mudd historically got a raw deal?
I've not really thought much about it.
Well, he's the doctor who, after John Wilkes Booth shot Lincoln the fuck in the face, jumped off the thing, broke his leg on the stage at Ford Theater, and ran off and found a doctor. He found Mudd. Mudd fixed him up the best he could, and they threw Mudd in that.
That is the Hippocratic Oath.
They threw Mudd in that jail that is now Dry Tortugas National Park off the coast of Key West. There's that old Spanish jail, and he lived most of his adult life.
Tortugas?
Yeah, Tortugas, in that jail. But he was doing his job. Shouldn't HIPAA laws have prevented?
Right, but wasn't the, refresh my memory, wasn't the idea that they had conspired ahead of time?
I don't have that information, all right? Like most of my conspiracy theories, I don't have the full information.
My thought was that they had coordinated ahead of time, that, like, hey, we might come to you because we want to fucking off this guy. And then
see, I like to believe it was more natural, like Samuel Mudd's asleep.
Knock on the doctor's door.
Yeah, and they're like, Dr. Mudd, this guy needs you. And he's like, you know, what have you done? And then, you know, Wilkes Booth is like, you know, bro, I really can't tell. You know, I mean, look, you know, I didn't like slavery. And he's, you know, they didn't get into that, okay? It just looked like, oh, you got a broken leg, I'm going to help you, okay? I'm going to help. That's my oath in life, okay?
Anyway.
I mean, when you were off in war and there was a young child rolling around, it didn't matter what country they were from, you helped them, right?
No, not necessarily. All I'm saying is fuck those old ladies. I wonder what they said. What do you think they said about me when they went home?
Were you jacked at that point?
Huge.
On performance-enhancing drugs?
Well, I wish, but enough to make them think that. Let's put it that way.
I don't know. Maybe they probably ripped you the whole way home, right? Made fun of you.
Do you think everyone said to themselves, maybe we shouldn't, like, verbally masturbate at the documentary of a dead war hero?
They're like, that big blowhard had no manners. Where'd he grow up? Doha? Right? You know, they're just, you know, grew up in a war zone. What's going on here?
What the fuck is wrong with this guy? Get some tattoos, pussy. All right, well, we should close it with that. We'll be back tomorrow. Yes.
Yeah, until they take our jobs from us,
we might be one and done.
Yeah.
All right. Well, sorry about the change in all the cameras, whatever. We'll get it worked out, a better system for tomorrow.
Hopefully, our crotches can be further apart on the next shot.
Plug whatever we need to plug. Jesus, you're fucking worthless. Showtime Sports has a YouTube channel.
Yes,
that's where our weigh-in and our tomorrow. Our presser coverage will be.
I really would, you know, look, everyone sells things. I want you to get used to CBS Sports HQ. That's half of my job, half of Luke's job. That's where we're going. That is a free 24/7 sports network, okay? Get on that, all right? It's not, people hear that, they think the CBS Sports Network? No, that is where Bellator is going. I'm talking about CBS Sports HQ. It's free.
Online, right?
It's online, it's free, it's 24/7, 24 hours a day. We are going to be a major part of that during big fight weeks setting the stage.
You know what? We got one more we can end on. You know my views on, like, the NBA with the whole Black Lives Matter and NFL with the whatever. It's like, I don't trust these entities to promote these messages.
Yes,
like,
yes.
I don't care what they think, right? I saw Rachel Nichols tweeted being like, how come the NBA didn't honor Ruth Bader Ginsburg? And I'm like, are we really fucking doing this right now?
Showtime gave her the 10 count, right? Saturday night before the Lubin fight.
Did they?
They gave her the freaking... She's a warrior. She was a fighter.
I have nothing bad to say about her, but why does the NBA give a fuck? What am I missing about this? Are we going to do this when any head of state, the Lebanese head of state, died in a blast explosion? Well, why doesn't the NBA care?
That's convenient for you to say Lebanese, right?
I'm making a point.
All right. You're half Armenian?
Yeah, my mother was Armenian, yes.
A full percent, 100% Armenian. Yeah. And your father's like some English mutt, like
just
some
fucking
some European hard ass.
He grew up in Oklahoma.
Grew up in Oklahoma?
Yeah, the home of bail bondsmen and fucking pawn shops.
Did he? Oh, wow. So he's a real old school, this guy.
No, not like you might think.
Did he have to kill puppies when he was little?
No, don't be ridiculous. All right, he may have talked shit during a Pat Tillman documentary. But we hashed it out. All right.
Yeah, so watch our shit, support us, and then we'll keep doing. And by the way, I'm a big fan of the Golden Road Wolf Pup Session IPA.
Show
okay. I picked that up on the way here.
There
not
you
bad.
Go.
All right.
Yeah,
thank
yeah.
you. Thank you.
All right.
You should get in what I'm drinking. You don't drink Kahlo? I drink that hemp-infused seltzer during
doesn't,
every...
Doesn't work for me.
During
doesn't
every...
Work. All right, can we end this?
Hey, real quick. Come on. I got
last
one more
word,
for you.
Last word.
All right. Luke one time during a morning combat show in Jersey was like, hey, BC, you know that bodega around the corner that our Korean friends run, right? Mm-hmm. It's right next to the subway stop. Hey, bro, they got some CBD brownies and then that you should check out. Because you're like, you know, I think that, you know, you could actually get a little bit of a buzz off that. I'm like, really? And I'm like, okay. So on the way back, I picked this up, all right? I was on my way from our morning combat shoot to go do a podcast in New York City. And I bought one of those, ate it. I'm like, oh, okay, oh, this was a dud. It, you know, Luke, okay, maybe Luke got a little buzz, but he's different than me. You know, he needs 64 beers to get drunk, right? The second we pressed record, like an hour and a half later, it was just like, wow. There it came to a point. Now, luckily, it was an audio podcast. It came to a point where I had to write down with a pen what my co-host on the other side of the country was saying because I could not process or remember it. I was like, this ish is freaking fantastic.
Dude, shit.
I went back that next week. Remember the lady was like, I don't know what you're talking about. We don't sell these.
She was like, we're out of brownies. I'm like, what the fuck you mean you're out of brownies?
I was like, those ones were real good. She was like, no, we don't sell those. No.
Someone must have come to me like, you know, those things are fucking packed to the rafters of marijuana.
Dude, to this day, that was good. That was some good.
That was no false advertising. All right. All right. That's Brian Campbell. I'm Luke Thomas. Give the video a thumbs up. We'll be back tomorrow night with something kind of similar to this. Until next time, fuck off.